Welcome to the new reality edition of Bite Marks Cafe right here on Hawaii Public Radio, where we serve you the first bite of today's science, technology, and innovation. I'm Bert Lam, and on today's show, we have Trung Lam. He's the brand spanking new executive director of the Hawaii Technology Development Corporation, and he's here to talk to me about what's in store for 2026. Trung, welcome to Bite Marks Cafe.
Hey, Bert. Thank you so much for having me.
And, you know, Trung, I got to start off by saying congratulations on your new post as executive director. And I want to wish you a happy new year. You know, we're entering into a brand new, 2026. Now, you have been on the job for 7 months or so, right?
Yeah, about 7 months.
I figure you're already, up to your eyeballs in what needs to happen for the state as an attached agency, the DBED. I mean, the Hawaii Technology Development Corporation is really kind of like the tip of the spear when it comes to technology in Hawaii. So I guess with that said, I kind of wanted to ask you before we get into some of the details, like, what is it that you, what would kind of possess you to want to really take on this job? And maybe start with a little bit of history. I know you've always been kind of interested in technology. We've interacted many times, and I think I probably had you on the show, but it was so long ago, I can't remember. But you've always been interested in technology. And so how did that evolve? And how did you, end up thinking, oh, man, I think I can do something if I'm in government, in, an organization like HTDC?
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for teeing up that question. So I went to school in California at UC Davis and got a degree in mechanical engineering. And coming home, I didn't see a lot of the opportunities for mechanical engineers that I saw when I was in college. So when I came back, I actually ended up not pursuing an engineering career. I got an MBA and I worked in food manufacturing. But technology has always been a big passion of mine. And if I couldn't be doing technology work in the Bay, I always thought the next best thing is, how do I bring technology to Hawaii? And I used that lens in my career in food manufacturing, trying to help with processes and efficiencies. But in my mind, I always knew that one day I wanted to do more tech work. And, during that time, I got to learn about HTDC and the work they were doing. I was even part of a startup called ShopSui in the early 2010s, and I was at the Manoa Innovation Center, where I got to meet and act or work with a lot of the people from HTDC. During the pandemic, something really interesting happened. I took a step away from my food manufacturing work, and we noticed something really interesting in that there were so many tech people working remotely in Hawaii that myself and some other people thought, like, here is our opportunity to finally make tech grow. Because we've never had that density of talent. We've always had wonderful talent in Hawaii for technology, but there's amount of critical mass and density you need for us to really grow a tech ecosystem. We saw this opportunity in the pandemic that we never saw before. So we started a nonprofit called Thrive High, and we were able to do some great work gathering folks together. We even got an EDA grant. But like, if anyone in your audience knows about trying to make impact at scale with this state, all roads lead to government, right? And for us, trying to build a tech ecosystem, that road led us to HTDC. And, I'm very familiar with the team. They're all great people. But at this time, HTDC was kind of like in this transition phase where they didn't have a permanent executive director and they were actively trying to hire. And we were, waiting patiently for them to find someone to lead the agency so that we could participate and work together with them on trying to grow the tech ecosystem. And after some amount of time, we just decided, maybe we should put our names in the hat and see if we could help somehow with this state. And, I always saw myself that someday I would love to work at HTDC. I just didn't think it would be now. But I put my name in the hat and they said, now might be a good time. So, sometimes what you want and the timing doesn't line up, and you just got to look at the opportunity in front of you and see if it makes sense.
Well, Trung, I mean, I'm glad you're in the role, and I gotta say, you're a young guy. You got a lot of energy. I think it takes somebody with that kind of, youthful exuberance to really have some vision and put some of those ideas to the test. And I've been doing this show long enough that I've known previous EDs, from when Robbie was around and when Len was doing it. And yeah, you're right. I mean, there was a whole period of time when. I think when Len left, there was a search, and that search went on, to me, I mean, it went on forever. In fact, I actually had somebody ready to come on the show who was ready to, you know, I guess got offered the position. And then all of a sudden, boom, it went silent. And I was like, what happened? And then, you know, long story short, he decided to turn down the job. So, yeah, it was quite a long time. And I think for the most part, that period of not having a leader really kind of put HTDC on kind of like cruise control or some, you know, auto driving mode, you know?
Yeah, and it's hard to follow a strategy or to create a strategy when there isn't someone leading the charge.
Well, I'm glad you've, taken that leap and putting forth, you know, your ideas and vision. And I'll, you know, in terms of what have you given yourself? I mean, in terms of time frame, you've been on a job 7 months. I mean, that's still a short period of time. Are you feeling like you're confident about what it is that it can do and what are the resources that need to happen? Because you're kind of entering into a brand new period, which is the legislative session, right? So there's going to be a lot of interaction with legislators. So have you given yourself enough time to really kind of think through what it is that you want to achieve?
Yeah, I think coming from the private sector, one of the things you learn is like there is never enough time to learn everything you think you need to know in order to make a decision. And sometimes you just have to make a decision with whatever information you have. And, you know, coming in, having worked with HTDC for a decade plus in my previous roles, I thought I knew a lot about HTDC and how it operated and kind of the projects it did. But in the last 7 months, I've learned that there was still a lot of, what's the phrase? Unknown unknowns that I had to learn, not just about my team and the agency, but about how DBED works, how the legislature works. So I've been spending a lot of time learning. Would I like to spend more time learning? Of course I would, but I think, you know, this is the beginning of a new year, we got to start doing something. And I think there's pressure for HTDC to really show that technology can be a driver of our state economy.
Now, you said you were involved with Thrive High, and Thrive High still exists, right? So that's still a nonprofit really kind of pushing some of the, I guess, initiatives that it uncovered as a result of the EDA grant that you just spoke about. Mm-hmm. So do you see Thrive High as kind of a partner with HTDC?
Yes, and I think when we start talking about more about what HTDC is trying to do, you'll see that we need all our partners to collaborate better.
Mm-hmm.
And Thrive High is definitely a piece of that puzzle, along with multiple other agencies, some of that have been around for quite some time and some that are relatively new that just started since the pandemic. And it's important that for us to really have, you know, an ecosystem, right? We need all the players working together well. So we definitely see Thrive High playing its role. But I'm no longer with the nonprofit. I am 100% with HTDC. So other people will be taking the lead for Thrive High.
Mm-hmm. Now, I do want to give you a chance to talk a little bit about that ecosystem, because you're absolutely right. All the previous executive directors, they had a fairly good sense of what it is that consisted or composed of the ecosystem. And to be honest, you know, when Bite Marks Cafe started, I mean, it was a lot less than it is now. So there's a lot more things happening. So I think it's a positive accomplishment and movement in the right direction. So why don't we kind of hold that thought? We'll be right back at this short break to continue our conversation with Trung Lam, brand new executive director of the Hawaii Technology Development Corporation. This is Bite Marks Cafe.
Support for Bite Marks Cafe comes from the HPR Local Talk Show Fund, which helps Hawaii Public Radio sustain and grow its locally produced talk shows. Mahalo to contributor The Hidden Nene.
Welcome back. This is Bite Marks Cafe right here on Hawaii Public Radio. I'm Bert Lum. If you're just joining us, we're talking to Trung Lam, executive director of the Hawaii Technology Development Corporation, also referred to as HTDC. And we're talking about his new role and what can we expect in 2026. Now, right before the break, I wanted to kind of like tease your thoughts on what do you see the ecosystem consisting of? Because there's quite a bit of activity. I mean, everything from accelerators, you know, whether you're thinking about like Blue Startups or ManaUp or, you know, Impact, I forget what it is, Impact, well, I don't want to get this wrong, but Elemental Impact?
Elemental Impact, yep.
Yep, okay. And then you've got, you know, the whole activity that's going on out at NELHA, and there's Accelerator out there, and there's a multitude of different sort of, I guess what you would call maybe not clubs, but meetup groups that come mm-hmm. together, and they may have different focuses, everything from, you know, Code with Aloha to the HIUX. Is that HIUX, guys?
There's UXHI.
UXHI. Yep. Okay, I guess flipped it around.
Yeah.
And so what do you see as being that ecosystem? And I just, you know, I just touched the surface of it, but you must have spent a little bit of time in that 7 months really getting your hands-on kind of first impression of what that ecosystem consists of.
Yeah, you know, I was very familiar with a lot of these organizations while I was doing work at Thrive High, but definitely when I started at this role, you know, one of the first things we did was we put on the calendar a series of events where we tried to gather as many folks in the ecosystem together in one room as possible,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
just to kind of learn and understand, you know, from a state perspective, we have data that kind of tells us population growth, GDP growth, et cetera. But it's always, you know, 2 or 3 years behind. And we really wanted to get like, okay, what is the state of tech in Hawaii today? And you only get that from the people with boots on the ground doing the actual work. So mm-hmm. we wanted to make sure we heard from as many people as possible. And that kind of stems from this idea of what is HCDC's role? 40 years ago when HCDC was created, the idea was we would build tech parks. And at that time, if you think about it, 1983, the internet wasn't quite really widely used. Tech was basically an office with maybe a modem line somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And nowadays, tech means something else. And 40 years later, we do have a tech ecosystem here. It's not the size of San Francisco, but it does exist. And it's very broad. It's very broad. And almost any sector for technology, you will find someone working in that space here in Hawaii. And we see our role at HCDC shifting from just building offices, and
mm-hmm.
we're going to build infrastructure. I think that's an important role for us. But in addition, what we need to do is we need to be what's called a field catalyst, basically a central organization that is able to convene, connect, and have folks collaborate and align better. And we support these ecosystem builders so that they can support the companies, the talent, and the capital trying to deploy in Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
And another example is think of a field catalyst like a gardener. And what we're trying to do is we're trying to create the environment or the garden for all plants to grow, right? Do we have the right nutrients, the right water, the right sunlight, et cetera? But we rely on the ecosystem builders as partners to help us as well, because we can't be handling all the little things like what the microorganisms are doing in the soil, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
So we need these partners to help out.
And I think, this is the first time I've heard you mention sort of this field catalyst idea and the analogy of it being like a field of, let's say, land that you can plant just about anything. And, of course, you know, wherever the land is, there's sort of climates, and there could be microclimates, there could be different kind of soil conditions, it could be different
mm-hmm.
sun and wind and rain. In Hawaii, and I think this kind of stemmed from that Thrive High EDA study, do you feel that there's a particular, let's say, specialty that Hawaii has that would perhaps thrive, you know, in that garden? And
yeah.
do you see the, you know, this sort of field catalyst being somewhat, you know, surgical about what that might be and how you could help foster that kind of growth?
Yes. I think for us to be good field catalysts, in order for us to pay attention to all the different components, of what we're calling the flywheel of innovation, all the key pieces. Because really the goal is to support the whole ecosystem that we build momentum, right? And that's what we need. Starting from zero is very hard, but once you have something and if it keeps growing a little bit over time, after a while, you're going to have such strong momentum that it's just going to keep building and building upon itself.
Mm-hmm.
But we can't do that for all tech sectors. Outside of San Francisco, I don't think any city can be one size fits all. And I think that's one of the challenges of HCDC is we do have to pick. And we're not saying by picking we ignore all the other sectors in technology. We just have, we build our garden. And we watch, we kilo the plants and see which ones are actually growing really fast, right? And those are the sectors, like, you know what, in the soil we have, the nutrients we have in Hawaii, these types of plants or these tech sectors do well.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then when you see those things do well, you have to provide more resources, right? Because the goal is to get them to grow really, really big. The goal is not to get everything to grow a little bit. We need certain key things to grow really, really big. And we're still in the exploratory phase as to what exactly those sectors are, but we narrowed it down to, I would say, three sectors. We're talking about ocean, space, yep. and health. Incredibly broad. So most of our work now for 2026 is to figure out what does that mean for ocean? Is it maritime? Is it climate resiliency or coastal resiliency? For space, is it astronomy? Is it space domain awareness, which is satellite data? For healthcare, is it cancer research? Is it biotechnology? I think we have to go many layers deeper to understand what is it that we can be good at here.
Mm-hmm. No, that's great to hear. Ocean, obviously, I mean, there's, like I mentioned, Nelha, there's a lot of companies that are doing things that take advantage of that location, and there's great stories to tell, you know, as a result of that. I remember having Greg Barber on, and you know, he always used to tease and say that it's one of the best kept secrets, you know, in Hawaii. And it probably is, you know, is true. Now, space, that's another one that is another, almost like a hidden gem. Every time I talk to people like Leslie Wilkins, and she tells me about, you know, like the Amos Conference and, you know, all the activity mm-hmm. that's going on Maui. I mean, it's almost like on Oahu, we don't really even maybe hear or see that. But on Maui, it's like a that whole tech sector is all about what's happening kind of in this space industry. I mean, is that accurate?
Yes, and that highlights the importance of these ecosystem builders. Like MEDB is leading the charge for the space domain awareness sector on Maui, and it's nice for us because they help us find these demand signals and showing which sectors are really interested in growing in Hawaii. And really with specifically ocean and space in particular, what you're seeing is sectors that kind of take what other folks see as disadvantages of Hawaii in the middle of the Pacific, not near anything,
mm-hmm.
and flips them into advantages, right? Like, yes, we are in the middle of the Pacific, which means we are surrounded not just by ocean, but by really near shore access to deep seawater, which a lot of other coastal areas do not have.
Exactly.
When you are looking at space, or whether it's rockets, whether it's satellites, having clear airspace above us and kind of open area east for launching is actually a huge advantage. And, you know, we have planes coming in and out, but nowhere near the traffic that you see in other metropolitan areas on the continent.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Now, we've talked a little bit about what could happen on a couple of the islands. I mean, do you have a sense of the specificity that might be applicable to, let's say, Big Island or Kauai? Now, I know that could be a long answer, so maybe I'll hold that off, and so I'll give you a chance to maybe think about it a little bit. We'll hold that thought. We'll be right back after this short break to continue our conversation with Trung Lam, Executive Director of the Hawaii Technology Development Corporation. This is Bite Marks Cafe.
Support for Bite Marks Cafe comes from the HPR Local Talk Show Fund, which helps Hawaii Public Radio sustain and grow its locally produced talk shows. Mahalo to contributor Furniture Plus Design.
Welcome back. This is Bite Marks Cafe. I'm Bert Lum right here on Hawaii Public Radio, HPR 1. And if you're just joining us, we're talking to Trung Lam. He's the Executive Director of the Hawaii Technology Development Corporation. And right before the break, Trung, you know, you mentioned a couple things that I think, you know, Oahu obviously, you know, has a lot of activity going on. You have Big Island. I guess Big Island is kind of like ocean. I mean, there could be a lot of energy kind of stuff coming out of the Big Island as well. And then Maui with the space activity. Any ideas for what might be a real kind of niche for Kauai?
Put me on the spot there. So yes, I think each island has its own role. We're still in the early phases of understanding what makes sense on different islands. Maui is very much very far ahead on that space domain awareness. Mm-hmm. But there's also a lot of interest around ocean as well in Maui. Nelha, like you mentioned, in kind of the Kona area, is doing a lot of research around ocean technology. And we're looking at Hilo as a potential space or potential site for aerospace development. Because there's a lot of interest there as well. Kauai, we're still trying to figure out. You know, there is the Barking Sands over there on Kauai that's mm-hmm. always interesting. But we're meeting with folks on different islands. Jackie from KADB serves on the HTDC board. So we're still trying to figure out what we can do on Kauai. But again, the goal is we want to be very focused on different regions and doing what makes sense for each island. We don't want to have like a blanket strategy that works for the whole state.
Right.
Ocean may work in certain places better. I'm looking at Honolulu Harbor or other places where we can provide companies with port access or pier access. Because again, HCDC started off as an agency designed to build tech parks and offices. But nowadays, people don't need a desk with internet connection anymore. That they can get that anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So what is that new version of tech park that we need to build? And we're looking at very unique facilities that align with these sectors we talk about, whether it's ocean, space, or health, that individual companies may not be able to afford on their own. But with the state support, we can create a shared facility to kind of nurture and kind of cluster these businesses together in different regions, and hopefully that will help them grow much quicker than they would if they were on their own.
Kind of like a modified version of a co-working space, but a little bit
Correct.
More targeted?
Very targeted. I think that's the trick. We have to be very targeted. We don't have a big budget, and it is state taxpayer dollars,
mm-hmm.
so we need to make sure whatever we invest in can grow in Hawaii.
Now, I would assume that maybe your top focuses are going to be, you know, things like you said, you have ocean, you have space, you have health. Now, what if a project like let's say an ag tech came along and was compelling, and you needed to kind of decide, okay, does that kind of enter in to the priority mix, and how would you balance, you know, what you would need to give to that particular sort of burgeoning new sector?
Yeah, and thank you for asking that. Again, when I say we want to focus on space and ocean, it doesn't mean we exclude anything else.
Mm-hmm.
So if a project does come up, whether it's ag tech, tourism tech, or energy tech that makes sense for Hawaii, we're happy to take a look at it. Really, my ambitious goal is when people talk about technology, especially if you are not in the tech sector, it's usually in the same breath as tourism. In a sense where people say, how do we diversify away from tourism to technology?
Mm-hmm.
And tourism and technology are two very different sectors. So like, how do you compare these? How do you make them apples to apples? And I say, you know, tourism is $20 billion in GDP to the state. It's $2 billion in tax, or 200,000 jobs and $2 billion in tax revenue. My goal is to build a tech sector that rivals tourism for the state in that size. Like, I want to be in that same conversation. I need to be at that same scale. So now, in my mind, like, I'm trying to get to that $20 billion GDP with technology.
So when you talk about technology, and this might even need another another segment of the show, but are you looking at specific kinds of, let's say, like you said, ocean, space, health? You know, what about some of the underlying capability that kind of is a horizontal bridge across all of these sectors? And of course, you know, you're talking to the guy who's, you know, made his living doing broadband and internet stuff. I mean, isn't that kind of foundational? And maybe part of that question is, you know, where do you see AI kind of playing in this foundational support for all the sectors that you're talking about?
You're right. So broadband, definitely very foundational. Thank you for all your hard work trying to get broadband to all the rural areas in the state, because we definitely still need to do more work in that area. But obviously, AI, huge game changer for all sectors, not just technology. So that's definitely a horizontal. We're also looking at, cybersecurity as one that's a horizontal across all sectors.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of an interesting one that the legislator has asked HCDC to look into is advanced manufacturing, which is, some people call it 3D printing, but it's much more than that. It's just manufacturing in new ways, and especially in kind of products that are maybe lower volume but higher value. In an island nation like Hawaii, we're not going to be manufacturing, millions of some part,
because
there's much cheaper place to do that. But like, there are certain things where we need, like the urgency to get the part completed is much higher than the cost of the actual raw material. So being able to do that here is very important. Again, a lot of the sectors in Hawaii that tend to do really well are dual use. So there's civilian plus defense applications, and advanced manufacturing is one of those as well. And you see that for ocean, and you see that for space, and you even see that for healthcare, where companies are printing metal joints and using that in surgeries, and doing that on site is much better than doing it somewhere else and trying to ship it over.
Right, right, right. And, the advanced manufacturing is an intriguing area, but you're absolutely right. I mean, you can do maybe specialty manufacturing, but when it gets down to scale, it's going to be hard to compete with some of the bigger markets out there. Now, what can we look forward to in terms of maybe one of your sort of signature projects coming up in 2026?
2026, yeah, we're going to be focused on kind of four key pillars. We're obviously, we're going to try to lead statewide development as it relates to the ocean and space sector.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to try and build like infrastructure that can actually help accelerate this growth, and we're talking about very unique facilities, and we're in talks with different agencies who can provide what facilities to us and kind of partner with us. And we're not just looking at in-state partners, we're looking at out-of-state external partners from different cities or even different countries to help us with these priorities. And what's nice is when you pick and you say like, these are the areas we're going to focus on, then people reach out and say, hey, that sounds really interesting, I also focus in that area and I would love to work with you. So we're seeing a lot of interest from both the continent and international to work with us on this. Again, working with our ecosystem builders. So the third thing is, how do we strengthen our innovation ecosystem? How do we get them more funding from like federal grants? How do we get them better coordinated? How do we give them the right data, right? As a state, we should be providing data for these ecosystem builders to help grow the tech sector.
Well, Chung,
and
you
the
know,
fourth one is,
I think this is going to warrant another opportunity to have you come back on the show. Where can people find out more about HTDC?
The best place right now is on our website, htdc.org.
Very good. Chung Lam is the executive director of the Hawaii Technology Development Corporation. Hey, Chung, I want to thank you for joining us today.
My pleasure, Bert. Thank you for having me.
And thank you for listening to Bite Marks Cafe. Join us next week when we'll talk about a new film project all about the 100th Battalion. If you miss any part of this edition, you can find the podcast of tonight's show on bitemarkscafe.org. Our engineer is Crystal Spear, and you can catch us on HBR One every Friday or anytime via the HBR app or your favorite podcast application. In the meantime, you stay safe, you stay awesome. We'll see you here next week for another edition of Bite Marks Cafe